Welcome to the 100 Master Coaches series featuring master coaches from around the world. Let's journey together on this 100 Master Coaches series with your host, Coach Mel, MCC. Today's Master Coach is Jean-Francois Cousin. He is a global executive coach to successful CEOs and senior leaders. He believes each person and team has the potential for greatness and makes it his mission to catalyze their growth. Now onto the show.
Welcome, guys. This is Coach Mel, and you are watching the 100 Master Coaches series. And today, oh my gosh, we have a treat for all of you. Today we have Jean-Francois, a magnificent coach, obviously a master coach for a very long time, and a personal friend. He has been an amazing role model to thousands of coaches worldwide and, of course, tens of thousands of clients around the world. Will you please give a warm welcome to Jean-Francois? Woo!
thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. And it's just a privilege to have you here. Maybe just something you'd like to say to everyone as we start.
Yeah, thanks, Mel, for your kind invitation. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And I do hope our viewers, right, will pick up a couple of practical things that can hire their development and also make a positive difference to their business as coaches.
Definitely. I'm just going to jump right in because I know you are always ready. And the first question is, tell us about your coaching story, how it all began for you.
Well, I've got to make good for what I said on the teaser, right, before, which was started in the crappiest place ever. So if you allow me to share, I'll show you. Mel, right? It started actually almost 15 years ago in extraordinary city of Bangkok, where I had as I was starting a second career, I didn't want to spend more money than I was expecting to make in the short term. So I rented a crappy place. Let me check if I can put it up on screen. No, cannot. That's what was the beginning, and that was after a corporate career. Mel, okay. I have been in fancy offices around the world, of course, the place got some importance actually, Mel, because okay. After trying unsuccessfully for many months to try and get some potential clients to me and listen to my proposition, I got an answer from the CEO of the largest food and beverage company in Thailand to my email saying, I'll see you tomorrow, 4 p.m. at your office. And of course, office was that super crappy place. And I was terrified.
I actually gave you access to share if you want to share right now. Yeah, please do so.
So here we go. Yeah, so that's the food picture, right? So the
it looks like a house.
Yeah, house, because I was sleeping there too. And actually, Mel, I was subletting the ground floor to a good friend who was in piping business. So the ground full of pipes. And then the second floor, I was subletting to another friend who is an artist.
Okay.
And she's a sculptor. And the second floor was full of wax and clay, super dirty. And so that fine gentleman came on time at 4 p.m. that day on a Vespa motorcycle, which was to me... But I was still terrified. So I walked to the third floor, the open window, right? And that was super crappy office. He made no comment. And then he asked me to tell him what I was doing. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to be the shortest conversation ever, right? Anything. And I still managed to talk for 5-10 minutes, I guess. And he was silent. And then he asked me tons of questions, said, right, to kind of verify if it was true or not. So, and then I walked him down. He took his Vespa and disappeared around the So, oh my God, worst day in my life. I'm never going to see that fine gentleman ever again. And actually, not true. The next morning, the assistant or a secretary of one of his vice presidents called me to ask me if I could be available sometime to coach that gentleman for one. And I did, and it went well. And so my point is, 5 years later, that big CEO and I had become friends, and I asked him, why give me a chance? You visited me in my super crappy place. And he told me, well, in a way, because you were there in that super crappy place indeed, and you were authentic, you were self, humble, right? Not pretending. And for me, that was a very obvious sign you could be trusted. And so I just gave you one chance. No big deal. If you had failed, then over, right? And he added to me, I spent most of my life with people faking it, right? Arrogant, confident, and who not, right? And when I see someone who is kind of humble, authentic, just being themselves, I consider, and then I think I can give them a chance. And so that's a message to convey, Mel, right?
Wonderful.
Self, be authentic, don't fake it. Coaching is a very humble job. It's only fitting that we are very humble. Make sense?
Makes sense. That is so beautiful. Thank you so much. And that really shows in who you are as well, Jean. It is, because I've often seen you as that humble, authentic person that you are. Seriously. In every one of your talks, and I've been to a couple of them, even shared the stage with you in Taiwan. It was amazing.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks for the compliment. And likewise, you are also epitomizing, I think, suitable humility for our line of work, right? There's more job than coaching in a way.
What is that first 5 years of your journey like? You know, perhaps there were some struggles or there's some wins that you'd like to share.
Yeah, struggles and wins, absolutely. Yeah, the struggle, main struggle, Mel, was with the imposter syndrome. You know, so imposter that discomfort, which really, really strong you feel when deep inside you feel you're not worthy of the job, right? And so that was really bugging me, because perhaps 2 years into the job, I started to coach executives at very high levels in organizations. And I thought, who am I, right? So I had my corporate career where I did okay, right? And I had been a executive myself, but still, these gentlemen were far higher up the ladder, and I thought, oh my God, how do I dare, right? I was sometimes petrified. From Bangkok, where I'm based in Singapore, to call the head for Asia Pacific of one of the top luxury brands, and the most kind and amazing gentleman, right? But each time I was almost sick, right? Being so far above where I had flown as a business, right? So of course I worked with for new coaches, right? You will know if you have imposter syndrome if you jump into advising, right? Or are feeling desperate about helping in other ways than coaching, right? So that's when you have imposter syndrome, right? One of the manifestations of that, right? And so, of course, I worked with my mentor, and she helped me understand that the definition of the ICF is spot on. That's where I really, the definition of coaching of the ICF is spot on, right? That anchored in partnership, right? So we are partnering with a client in a thought-provoking creative process that inspires people to maximize their professional and personal potential, right? And she helped me understand that I have the humble job of a thinking partner with my clients. Understand their world. Actually, I can't anyway. I'm there just to support them, partner with them, like we are two explorers in the jungle, right? We are sensitive.
Yes.
Look at what way forward we can find, and then move forward, right? And so that was very liberating, and that's more of co-explorers or fellow explorers in
that's
the
nice.
Jungle stayed with me. And perhaps it can stay with you, the viewer or listener as well, right? That's where we are. And that's very liberating, yeah? And then the growing joy was referrals. I'm not gifting at online marketing, at marketing at all, right? But the growing joy was referrals, right? And so many years later, I still get most of my business from referrals, in fact. Yeah. And probably there are so many other smart ways that I don't know of. But my recommendation would be at least let's do a stellar job each and every time. Give it all, right?
Yes.
And perhaps later on, it can be a few years later, we get a new client because someone we had coached told them they had a great time and that made a difference in their lives. Yeah.
Wonderful. So many nuggets there. Thank you. I'm going to jump into the next one. What is the bravest thing that you have done as a coach?
Yeah. So again, I need to owe it to what I said in the teaser, right? I had said I had done my life, in fact, for coaching twice. And that was because there was this client in America, in a country that was at that time enduring a lot of civil unrest. The situation was extremely dangerous. And then I had promised that I would go and a couple of days with him and his team, in fact, right? And so I flew all the way from Bangkok through Europe to that place in Latin America to honor my, but it was extremely dangerous. And amounting to risking my life, right? But of course, with the comfort that that company, excellent company, would think they could protect it, right? And they did, right? So I had the bodyguards, three actually at some time, walking from the hotel to the office, which was nearby and all that. And went absolutely fine. And so happy that in that place where very few people were going, I could honor my promise and help these great people. And the other thing was... similar, in fact, in the Middle East, again, in a country that was very difficult circumstances, right? And I image going up the elevator to the top floor where my client was, and the door of the elevator opens, and five militaries with.
My gosh.
It was there, and one accompanied me to the office, and I thought, wow, okay, high safety here. I hope it doesn't mean high danger. So the point is, let's not be crazy, right? But let's honor our promises, or almost to give it all to our clients, right?
And even if you have to be James Bond for a moment, You went through it.
That's right. I was just like a traveler.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Over the last 15 years, as you were saying, I'm sure you've got so many insights to share with us. What would be your top three insights?
Yeah.
So for all of us. Yeah.
First one, Mel, is that coaching at its core is an act of unconditional love.
Wow.
That's really
what
it is. We are, like I just mentioned, right? So we give it all with no strings attached, no judgment, no agenda. And that's often the only space we create for our clients where they are unconditionally loved, right? And it's interesting that Eric Schmidt, the former chairman and CEO of Google, and for the first 20 years of the company, right, wrote a book on his coach, Bill Campbell, the $1 trillion coach, because coach kind of almost anyone who is someone in the Silicon Valley over the years. And one chapter in that book is called The Power of Love, like Celine Dion's song. It's about the power of unconditional love Bill Campbell as a coach brought to the people he coached in the Silicon Valley. Say that was much, much needed and made an enormous difference, in fact. So,
wow. Love. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an insight, right? Now, I hope that our viewers and listeners feel when their client is coming to a session, that excitement of the puppy, right? The puppy love, right? Because then the client will also feel that, right? And then open up and do great work. So that's insight number one.
Thank you.
Number two, I mentioned before, is that extreme importance of authenticity and humility and vulnerability, right? Not just because it's a good way of being in general, but also tactically, because it gives permission to our clients in a session to all the same authentic and humble and vulnerable. And then we have a conversation where nothing is held back, right? We have the material coming up the discussion, and then we can make it work, right?
Wonderful. Beautiful mirroring in that sense, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So we said, well, thanks. Third insight, perhaps, would be the extraordinary power of our coach posture when we act as the student of our client, and we make our client our teacher. So practically, it means client comes with, and I've experienced so many times, right? That when I am that curious, candid, challenging student, expecting my teacher, my client, right, to teach me the solution to her or his problem. Client do awesome work, right?
Absolutely.
The very opposite of the teacher-student interaction at school, where the teacher is the kind of the trainer, right? And you are. Your client, your teacher.
That is beautiful, Jean. I want to give the audience a chance to picture this, because you did a most excellent example of that in one of the conferences that I was in. If you remember, you asked everybody to sit down, and then you asked the next person, which means there was a coach and a coachee, and I think you remember that. And you allowed one person to sit on the chair, and you actually invited the next person to sit on the floor. Now, this was very, very different, because I've never experienced that before as a coach. And when I went around, because I was just a curious observer, I was just looking, the conversations were like, was so, so deep. And the person sitting is actually the coach. He was listening and looking up to that coachee. It's like elevating them to that place because the hero is actually the coachee. That was mind-blowing, John. Really.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed that experience. The embodiment of a student, as a coach, and the teacher as the client, right? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you. If you had a chance to do it all again, John, what would you do it differently?
Thanks for the question, Mel. So first, hire a mentor, work with a mentor right away, right? So I did my coach school and then I coach, right? And I did think of hiring a mentor. But then, of course, that imposter syndrome I mentioned before was growing more and more disturbing, right? And then what I would do differently first is hire a mentor from day one. And it's so easy,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
With your study buddies at the coaching school, right? Yes. So important, yeah? And yes, I guess if I had a suggestion, it would be to work with your mentor on the quality of your presence to the client and also on anything that may hold you back from being confident enough in front of the client, right? So presence and presence are two great topics to work on with a mentor.
Wow.
Yeah?
That's beautiful.
And I think I would do differently, Mel, is be very mindful that the first time you kind of go public, right? Perhaps you do a public speaking or you put up your website out there. So you generate the first impression about you. Yeah. Mm. That first impression needs to be chosen by you, not by anybody else. So in my case, I was invited when I was starting my second career as a coach in Bangkok, where I had been a managing director for a multinational company before, to do a public speaking for a chamber of commerce on cross-cultural management. And I was only too happy to do that because I had hardly anything else to do with my time anyway, right? So, papers, and it seemed to have really interested the audience, so it was a success. Only one I wanted. What I wanted was success as an executive, right? But then what people have reminded me as for the next 5 years are, the cross-cultural management experts.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wrong image, right? And it stayed with me for 5 years despite enormous to direct. I'm an executive coach.
Yeah, interesting. But it still got you know, that good first impression, right? They all remembered you for that. And of course, that is powerful as well.
Yeah, well it was not a total failure, right? Except it was not and the third insight perhaps would be about, being very careful about choosing your niche at the confluence or the intersection of your capability as a coach, your background, right? And also a market that can pay for your services, right? Have only two of the three, you're not making your life easy, right? You've got really to be capable as a coach, to be geared with some strong experience, right? If you want to act as a coach, which is now a very competitive job, a lot of market, and also a part of the market that can pay for your services.
Yeah. as you were saying about competition, and as you were talking about how it has changed, right, from the 15 years ago of coaching, in your mind's eye, imagine if we can go forward and look into that foreseeable future. What do you think that future of coaching will look like, John?
Yeah, well, I'm seeing that coaching is going to be more and more democratized, right? Coaching, which is a beautiful thing for the world, right? The International Coaching Federation is paving the way with its foundation, and the ICF Foundation has already reached, touched the lives of almost 17 million people around the world, right? And there is also a kind of a democratization of coaching in companies. Coaching being made more and more available to middle management when it was before reserved for executives. Then we have to be very careful as a profession, however, that the democratization of coaching does not amount to depreciation of the quality of coaching. My invitation to coaching companies who employ coaches around the world is always to hire properly certified coaches. Otherwise, devalue the profession, in fact. Yeah? So big yes, heartfelt yes to democratization, and
that's beautiful.
Quality standards at the same time. Yeah? So that's one. Yeah. And second insights perhaps I have is that, you know, our world really so complicated now and changing so fast that not one leader alone is enough to figure out the best way forward.
Yeah, true.
Intelligence can do that, right? The job description of leaders has changed, right? In the past, perhaps they could be the smartest guy, right?
Yeah.
But if they were just that, it didn't work anyway. Now, people a big part of their job description now is catalyst of collective intelligence. And that requires coaching skills, right? So the second insight is the imperative for coaching to be embedded leadership, because leadership has to be a catalyst for that collective intelligence that move organizations, communities, business forward. Make sense, Mel?
Yeah, beautiful. I'm totally with you, Jean, because that's what I say. Actually, I've been saying it in our past series as well. One of that vision that I have is to democratize coaching. I see coaching available for all people. And that's why when I saw ICF Foundation started, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm definitely going to be a part of that. So thank you. And, you know, I just want to say, if you guys don't know, Jean has served us as the head of ICF. So thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. I was honored with the chance to serve our community around the world in that great organization.
Definitely. And, you know, this thing that you can leave behind, Jean, because we're coming to the end of the interview already. What is that master wisdom? Just one.
Yeah.
That all of that you can compress into that one thing that you want to tell budding coaches that are coming into the scene right now. What would that be?
Yeah. So it's about the quality of your presence and intention for the client mattering much more than the quality of your questions, right? So as young coaches, we are often up in arms about, okay, what's the next question to ask? That's a magic, powerful question. And I, as we're doing that, we're not present to the client. And I'd say the wisdom here is just come with that present and that intention to the client to be their best, right? Then guess what? They will be. And then just cultivate that quality of presence with your mentor, like I said earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
Cultivate your being, and that's as we go through the journey towards MCC, Master Certified Coach Credential, right? That's what we work on a lot. Yeah. But you can do that from the beginning, right? Cultivate your being, the quality of your being in service of the client, wow. who is creative, resourceful, and whole, right? Free to do great work. Cultivate the quality of your being, your presence, and don't bother so much about your doing. As long as your being and your intention are positive to the client's accomplishments, then the magic of coaching will happen.
That's so beautiful. Intention is so key. For those who are listening in, for those who are perhaps not coaches, that's this powerful question that Jean is going to ask you right now. What would be that one question that you want to leave behind for them?
Yeah. So, the question for coaches, and then I'll offer an equivalent one for managers, perhaps. Right. The question is, how can you free yourself more of the doing of the coach, so that the quality of your being or your presence grows? It's that again, right? How can you free yourself more of the doing of the coach, so that the quality of your being or your presence to the client grows even more, right?
Yeah.
If I had an equivalent in the world of management, right? I'd say to managers, a question would be, how could you free yourself more of all you're doing that others can do, so you can fly higher and they can too, right? And that's a big win for everyone and for the organization you serve. And it's about empowerment, right? Where, of course, coaching is a very helpful approach.
Wonderful. We've come almost to the end of this session, Jean. It's just been a pleasure hosting you. I'm going to give you a chance right now to share with people how they can get a piece of you.
Thanks for the chance, right? I just say I'm always happy to make new connections on social media. And if you just type my name, right, Jean Francois Cousin, right, on Google, then you'll find my LinkedIn, my book, my Twitter, we can have a conversation, right? Yeah.
You said it as humble as you always do. There is only one Jean Francois, and he is a wonderful friend, wonderful coach, wonderful servant, if I might say. Everything you've shown us is about service, the best excellent service that we can provide to our coaches, our partners out there. Jean, it's been a pleasure hosting you. Thank you. This has been the 100 Master Coaches series. And this is Coach Mal signing off with Jean saying, see you in the next one.
You have been watching the 100 Master Coaches series with your host, Coach Mel, MCC. Brought to you by Catalyst Coach. www.catalystcoach.live. We will be right back with our next Master Coach on the 100 Master Coaches series.